Now, who is Jesus and why did he come? There are surely no more crucial questions we can ask. If Jesus is just a man, I personally would prefer not to be in church on a Sunday. I would prefer to be somewhere else. I would probably be using the time to practice my singing or watch some rugby. But because I know that Jesus is God, he takes precedence over my hobbies. He must be the center of my life. Jesus is God, and he's come to save us. That's tonight's message. Jesus is God, and he's come to save us. We are sinful people who need forgiving. Imagine you're driving down the road, and your car stalls at a railway crossing. You are understandably nervous as you try to restart the car. You become even more nervous when you see a train turn the corner in the distance. The train's horn is blaring and the driver has slammed on the brakes, but you are too close and he's coming too fast. You move from trying to start the car to trying to unfasten your seatbelt, but fear has made your hands stiffen and shake. You can't get your seatbelt unfastened. The train is rushing towards you, and you know that you're going to be hit. And you are. Suddenly, and from behind, a man in a lorry behind you has decided to ram into your car and push you off the tracks. He is destroyed by the impact of the train. You get out of your car, shaken and still frightened. You are terrified by the gruesome scene, in shock over your rescuer's sacrifice. You are grateful in a way that you've never been grateful before. Even in your terrified awe, it feels good to be alive. You feel woozy, so you sit down on the boot of your car. And as you're trying to retrieve your phone to call 999, you hear a whimper from inside. You didn't know before that before you'd left the house, as your kids were playing hide and seek, your youngest son decided to hide in the boot of your car. As you open it up frantically and discover that he is miraculously unharmed, you suddenly realize the total greatness of the loss you almost suffered. Your gratitude, your amazement, your new look on life takes a giant leap forward. Well, that's just a very faint illustration of what Jesus has done for us. God becomes man to save us. And I wonder if your gratitude at being saved from hell comes anywhere close to the gratitude of the man who's just been saved from the train. It really should do, shouldn't it? God becomes man in order to save us, even more remarkably than being saved from a train. Three things to show you. The Word of God, verses 1 to 5. The witness of John, verses 6 to 8. And the work of Jesus, verses 9 to 14. Firstly then, the Word of God, verse 1. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. In the beginning. This immediately makes us think of Genesis 1, doesn't it? In the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. The Word, in Greek thought, the Logos, was the impersonal force or reason that created and governed the universe. John is showing us that Jesus is more than this. He is the personal God who made and rules the universe. In Old Testament thought, the Word is the expression of God's character by which he rules and creates. So Psalm 107, verse 20, he sent out his Word and healed them. God rules by his Word. God creates by his Word. He speaks creation into being. So in the beginning was the Word. So far, so unremarkable, perhaps. But, verse 1b, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So Jesus is the Word by which God made the world. He was with God. He was God. He is God. Here we have an insight into the Trinity. Jesus is God. And Jesus is with God the Father. God with God. Verse 2, he was with God in the beginning. He was God. He was with God at the beginning. At the beginning of time, the Trinity were together, loving one another, being together. They didn't need us. Don't know if you ever thought about that. The Trinity had no need of us. They were entirely self-sufficient. But because God is love, he creates us to know his love. Through him, verse 3, through Jesus, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In the late 1940s, at Hyde Park's Speaker's Corner, Frank Sheed, the Catholic author and publisher, used to speak. Sheed could be devastating with hecklers. Once, after Sheed had described the extraordinary order and design to be seen in the universe, a persistent challenger retorted by pointing to all the world's ills and ended up shouting, "I could make a better universe than your God." "I won't ask you to make a universe," Sheed replied, "but would you make a rabbit, just to establish confidence?" Only Jesus can do that, can't he? Jesus, our God, made all things. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. And because Jesus is the Creator, we should fall down before him and worship him and give our lives to him. Verse 4, in him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. Jesus is the source of life. He described himself as the life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Light and life to all he brings, risen with healing in his wings. We sing at Christmas, don't we? I've been singing that all the week, actually, as I prepared this sermon. Becca's getting really fed up of it. Jesus' life brings light to all mankind. We're in the darkness until Jesus shines his light. Verse 5. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. That's great news, you know, when you think of all the awful things in the world. Jesus is shining into that dark world, and the darkness has not overcome it. We are on the winning side. Jesus' light wins. But you know, there was a solar eclipse in Haiti, well, not just in Haiti, in 1998. And one family in Haiti were found dead the day after the eclipse. They think it was accidental poisoning, an overdose of sleeping pills taken to alleviate anxiety. But suffocation was also suspected because the family had plugged all the openings to their home to block out the light. Apparently, thousands of Haitians hold the superstition that an eclipse will blind or kill them. And that's a horrible illustration of people in our world blocking out the light. Blocking out the light of Jesus. And when they block out the light, they die. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. The light shines in the darkness, but the darkness has not overcome it. There is so much darkness in our world. Sin, selfishness, cruelty, anger, hatred, and so we could go on. Jesus came into our world and shone his light into the darkness. And he wins. He wins. The word of God. Secondly, the witness of John, verses 6 to 8. When I was applying for ordination in the Church of England, I had to go and see my bishop, who was the Bishop of London, whom I respected and got on well with. However, he said a very strange thing to me in that interview. He said that if John the Baptist came to see him for ordination, he would refuse John the Baptist ordination in the Church of England. I suppose he thought John the Baptist was too extreme. But he hoped that if John the Baptist walked into the room, I would bow down before him. I thought it should have been the other way around. The Church of England desperately needs evangelists like John the Baptist, but we shouldn't bow down to him. See verse 6, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. So, he was just a man. And he was sent from God. He came, verse 7, as a witness to testify concerning that light. So John the Baptist is a witness to confirm to us who Jesus is. You have to decide, is John's testimony, his evidence, credible? Are you convinced by it? I hope you will come with an open mind to this testimony. John testifies so that through him, through Jesus, all might believe. We're dealing with nothing less than God's rescue mission. God wants all to believe, all to be saved through believing. He himself, verse 8, was not the light. So don't muddle them up. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Jesus is the light. John is not the light. John is a witness sent from God. So he comes with great authority and power, power of the Holy Spirit. But he is just a man. The Word of God, the witness of John. Thirdly, the work of Jesus, verses 9 to 14. The true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. Wouldn't you think that people would be pleased to see Jesus? Wouldn't you think that? I don't know about you, but before our evangelistic event last Sunday night, I went around my neighbours, knocked on all their doors, invited them. I invited people at the gym, everybody I met at the gym, and so on. People weren't very pleased. They weren't very pleased to be invited. It's like verse 10, isn't it? He was in the world, and though the world was made through him, in other words, the world owes him everything. The world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. I have a friend that I've been reading the Bible with, and praying for, and trying to win for Christ. He said to me one day, "This is my religion." And he showed me the picture of the sun on his phone. A created thing. The true light, God himself, the true light that gives light to everyone was coming into the world. He was in the world. The world was made through him. The sun was made through him. And the world did not recognize him. My friend is choosing the sun on his phone over the creator of the sun, over the light, the light. People do, don't they, prefer to worship created things rather than worship the creator himself. Perhaps we prefer to worship money or career or pleasure or anything else. Our world does not recognize Jesus. Verse 11. He came to that which was his own, the Jewish nation. But his own did not receive him. There's the bad news. That's the depressing bit. But look at verse 12. Here's the good news. Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So we're like that car sitting on the train track, waiting to be struck by the train, waiting for death, waiting for hell. But if we will receive Jesus as King, as Savior, we can be God's children. We have the right to that. And I'm going to keep talking to my friend who worships the sun. I'm going to keep exposing him to the light. I'll keep praying for him. And I really believe that God can work in his life. And that God can give him the right to become a child of God. There's much talk about rights today, whereas once we thought about responsibilities. But here is one right we can be sure of. If we receive Jesus, we have the right to be God's children. We have the right to come right into his presence. You've probably heard the sermon illustration about President John F. Kennedy and about how everyone else had to make an appointment to see the president, and it was extremely difficult to get an appointment. But his son, who was also called John, could just walk into the Oval Office at any time. He could play under the president's desk. Jesus gives us the right to come right into the very throne room of heaven, to be adopted into God's family, to know God as Father, to know his love for us personally. We can be saved from death and hell. We can know God. We can go to heaven. We can be children of God. Verse 13. Children born not of natural descent, nor of human decision or of husband's will, but born of God. You're not born a Christian. You're not a Christian because your parents are. You're not a Christian because you were born in England. I heard the actress Helen Mirren say that of course she was a Christian because she was born in Britain. Well, that's not right. You are only made a child of God when God gives you spiritual life, when you receive Jesus as Saviour and King. Have you done that? Have you received him like that? Are you a child of God? Yes, verse 14, the Word, Jesus, became flesh, became human, and made his dwelling with us. This is really mind-blowing, utterly mind-blowing. Think again of the sin of the world, the mess we've made. We've already touched on it, warfare, hatred, abuse, lying, cheating. This is our world. Jesus lived in heaven, in perfection, in unapproachable light. And he stooped down, became flesh, became human, and made his dwelling among us. He dwelt in heaven, and then he dwelt in Bethlehem. Extraordinary kindness and self-sacrifice. He became flesh. He made his dwelling among us. Literally, he tabernacled with us. He pitched his tent with us, like God's people in the wilderness. We have seen his glory. John literally saw Jesus in his glory. We have seen him in his word. We have seen him as God, the glory of the one and only Son. Jesus is the glorious Son of God who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. How lovely is Jesus, full of grace and truth. He never compromised on the truth. He was full of truth. He said, I am the truth. But he was full of grace. What does that mean? It means he forgives sinners who truly repent. He forgives us. He shows us grace. He pours blessing into our lives, even though we don't deserve it. The Word of God, that's Jesus. The witness of John, doing, I suppose, what we all should do, bearing witness to the light, saying to our friends and families and colleagues and neighbours, here is Jesus. He's come to be our Saviour. That's the work of Jesus. Do you believe Jesus is God? Do you believe he has come to save humanity? Has he saved you? Don't leave tonight without sorting things out with Jesus. Receive him as your Saviour and King. Receive the right to become a child of God. And if you have received him, how privileged are you? Here's my friend, worshipping the Son. How will that help him on the day of judgment? And you know the truth. You are safe for the day of judgment. You have been saved. You are like the man being saved from the train. You have been saved. I have been saved. And therefore, we must live for Christ with all the strength that God's given us. He's given us our lives back, hasn't he? And now they are to be lived for him. Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for Jesus. We thank you that he is your eternal word by which you spoke creation into being. Thank you that he is God. Thank you that at one time someone bore witness to him and led us to Christ. We thank you for that. We thank you for his work of saving sinners, giving us the right to become children of God. Lord, help us now as those who've been saved, who are children of God, to live for Christ. Help us to get up tomorrow morning with a real purpose and determination to live for your glory, because you have done so much for us. Lord, we give you our thanks and our praise, our very lives, back to you. In Jesus' name, amen.